Here's an agenda for the next 40 minutes. Pretty straightforward, really, and a little bit of introduction further about the relevant parts of my background and the sort of journey that Grant described to get to the point where we are with the tool now. Obviously, why it's important, and Grant talked about that, what it is, and finally then how you can progress and what to do next. And things are live now, so by the end of this 40 minutes, then I'll be encouraging you to get online, play with the tool, use it as a case study for some of your recent events, and give us your feedback. So without further ado, as Grant said, my background is I have the pleasure of working on some big events. I didn't get to Canada for the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, but a lot of my colleagues in London did, and we learned from you guys in the preparation for 2012. And my journey since the Olympic Games has meant that I've been able to sort of see through the consequences of the Games and also deal with a number of different events at different levels. So that can be track cycling in the new Olympic Velodrome to field hockey here, to World Athletics Championships, to mass participation events. And latterly, worked internationally with Rick and other colleagues to help found the International Association of Event Hosts. And I'll show you a little bit more about that in the next couple of slides. More recently, one of the projects I've been dealing with is with the International Federations in Switzerland. And they're keen to make sure that they get better at measuring the impact of events and describing how events can be meaningful more than just for economic and tourism reasons. So so all of that has fed in to where we get to today. My time at London & Partners, I was involved with commissioning reports, and some of those on individual events, but also on the whole of the journey that we were on for the 4 years after the Games. So you can actually go online, go on the londonandpartners.com website. In the major events section, you can find these reports, and you can see some data on how that was presented there. I mentioned the International Association of Event Hosts. That's now it's a membership body, not-for-profit organizations. Some of you on the call know it and are members. Edmonton, Calgary, Ottawa, Kingston, all members currently. This is the list of the membership currently. And over this last few weeks, we've been sharing some of the common experiences that Rick and your webinar series over the past few weeks you've been doing in Canada. So we've all experienced very similar situations to you, obviously different, slightly different times, and we're now going through slightly different journeys to come out of it. But in the UK, I'm here, I've been out for a bike ride this afternoon, life is as normal as it can be. The temporary hospitals that were put in place for the sort of threat of the real deep crisis are now largely empty. Clearly there's been a big impact in terms of deaths, and that's been a hard hit for some people. But we're now coming out of that, and the norm now for the next steps is really about social distancing, is about that 2 meters in our case, 6 feet away from each other, and what that means for events. And people are now putting events on behind closed doors. This weekend in Germany, the Bundesliga football is being played for the first time, opening up the sort of season that was suspended, and they're looking into doing something similar in the UK. But the other big theme is about innovation and about virtual formats. And use of digital. So there's clearly a demand that people want events, and the governments are looking to open up events for being for good and to encourage grassroots sport and activity. So it may take time, it may take months, it may take a year or so, but events are coming back, and the ability to address the social value of events is what is needed now and what people want. So the key to that is about targeting the right message to the right audience, because it's about understanding what you want to say and to who. And it isn't just about saying my event's great and isn't it wonderful, we've got lots of people watching it and that's it. It's about being much more specific than that. So more on the why. We all know events offer more than just economic value, and some of you may be familiar with this quote, not everything that can be counted counts, and everything that counts can't be, not everything that counts can be counted. It was attributed to Albert Einstein, but by all accounts he learned from heard it from a professor at Oxford University and liked to use it. But what we're trying to do now with Steer is make an effort to count those things that are intangible, the harder to count thing. Intangible benefits are becoming increasingly important, particularly for events of different sizes, and in our current situation now where we can't currently gather in mass and encourage large crowds, the sort of social impact, the intangible impact is a more important metric to tell. COVID-19 is making it harder just to be able to demonstrate delivering on the value that short-term tourism value can provide. Also over the past 12 months, and this is something that I've found striking in my journey the last 10 or 15 years, is that sustainability is much more relevant and much more on people's agenda now. So to be able to demonstrate the role of events in that is increasingly important. But equally, the language of benefits of events and impacts of events can often be mistrusted and not seen as specific enough to local levels. When you're dealing with communities that have charity work or addressing minority groups on a day-to-day basis, and then suddenly some big event comes in and says it's the biggest thing in the world, that isn't enough anymore. So there isn't a standard tool to communicate, to plan for the wider benefits until now. Steer is based on some work that I've led, the International Association of Event Hosts have led over the past couple of years. You can go on the website that's shown here. That work is called Event Impact Standards. It's guidance, and it's a glossary of terms about all the types of impact and measuring it in a meaningful way. So I encourage you to go and look at that. It doesn't have a formula, but it helps to demystify and basically set out some of the basic things that you need to do to be able to measure benefit of an impact of all kinds. It's split into five sections, and it was done in collaboration with universities and academics and different institutions. And it also references the UN sustainability goals. So some of you will be familiar with the 17 sustainability goals. Behind these are individual targets, individual indicators. They're very broad. They cut across, all sorts of issues across society globally, so that they're very wide ranging. And in IAEH, we looked at the ones that were more specific to events, partly to understand what events should do as a basic minimum standard, but also partly about how events can profile the messaging around these, such things like gender equality and equality in general, particularly disability. Here again, on the website is this timeline that describes events. So you can have short-term impacts that generally is what we measure currently in the industry. So an event happens, we do a survey, we gather up the information, we all put it out there. But that doesn't describe the long-term benefits, and the social intangible benefits are really ones that can really only be measured when the outcomes are the long-term, and really only happen if you have inputs where you're planning to do something about it in the lead up to the event. So the other aspect of measuring that is that good measurement, trusted measurement, has to be objective driven, has to be based on what you're trying to achieve, has to only measure things that you've made a difference to, and has to be evidence based. So this is that guidance, this is all online from that. And for the tools at CSTA, STEAM, and for economic benefit, already acknowledges this. It already measures additionality. You have a great tool to forecast impacts and to sort of work on the inputs that would make a difference to getting a result when the event happens. So STEAM already complies entirely with the guidance. And what STEER is intended to do is there's two main times when you would carry out the STEER. One is at the forecast stage, and one is at the stage when the event happens. And the approach is consistent across both of those stages. Some of you may be familiar with the CSTA model on which some of the consulting services are based. And the difference between those STEER and STEER Pro then is STEER at the beginning around the research early phase and STEER Pro towards the end. But it's having the end in mind when you're at the beginning of this journey. So what am I talking about? What is the tool? So there are, the tool is basically structured around a questionnaire that is online now, and I'll walk you through it. It has the first paid service of a report which provides a legacy plan for an event in the future. And a separate section to that then has recommendations to improve that plan, and adds that into a quarterly action plan that you can take away, you can learn from, and you can implement. Then after the event, or while the event happens, a STEER Pro report is the traditional, as you would expect it, evaluation report. But it's based on those same elements and includes survey data from attendees. Now, an event has a bigger impact than just those that attended. So STEER Pro Plus is a service I'll also reference in this presentation, where we can survey non-attendees and understand the impact on a wider audience. So for STEER, I'll explain now the structure. It's based on three pillars of sustainability that people may have understand the language of, which are economic, social, and environmental benefits. And as I said, it's based on the model that IAEH developed. So the recognition of what I just described about those wider audiences, for any event, you have attendees, and maybe there's less attendees, so the event's happening in the short term, but there are viewers online or on TV, and there is a wider audience that are aware of the event through news or social media. This can be a breakdown. Some of these will be local, some of these will be national, and some of these will be international. And the proportions differ depending on the type of audience. So this complicated model here was the sort of output to say all the types of benefits that you might have come under these broad categories across the three pillars of sustainability and across those types of audience. So these 10 areas, I should say 8 areas, feed into 10 sections in STEER. So we'll now get into the detail of three main sections: the STEER tourism benefits, STEER social, and STEER environmental. So I mentioned the free questionnaire. The questionnaire, the link will be at the end of this presentation. You go online, put in some basic information about you and your event and your destination, and you answer approximately 50 additional questions that walk you through the types of things that could be in place. So here's just a snapshot of the first few questions and ask you yes or no, are these things in place for your event? If you choose to go ahead into the more detailed report parts of the tool, then we'll then get into asking the questions about, okay, specifically, what are those things and what are the data that you have that you're forecasting? So the subtitles here in STEER data gathering, you'll see a description of what you would be asked for should you choose to go forward with the project. This is the tourism section. This is the start of the social section. And you can read a couple of the questions there. And this is the start of the environmental section. Now, on completion of the survey, you'll get a notification that comes through to a CSA consultant, and within 24 hours, you'll get a summary of your questions back and a score. And that score will be presented in this sort of spreadsheet format, where those questions have been weighted to provide an overall index score. But if you answer that yes to everything, you get 100%. The weightings are, you know, broadly a third, a third, a third between those tourism, social and environmental categories, not quite a third in each. And then the relative importance of each one of those questions, if it's a more important question, you get more, a higher score if you answered yes to. It's not critical to get a high score. It's just a tool to be able to compare as you go through the process. So this, if you then choose to say, I'm interested in having a report, having a STEER report for my event coming forward. I mentioned the legacy plan, I mentioned the recommendations. So these next couple of slides are examples of the output you would get as a result of going forward. Once completing the questionnaire, if you say yes, we want to go forward, you would set up a call with the CSTO consultant, might be me in the short term. We talk through and we gather the information that you have in one form, a number of different documents, or through discussing it, I summarize that information and complete it into a report. This first report is a well-presented description of your current plans to provide a legacy across all of the areas. This is another page layout. You can see there's a little bit of text, but mainly data and mainly sort of key points. So that first part will be in isolation. You can use to share with your stakeholders, and you can say, this is our intent for our event. The second part, before we move to the second part, I just showed two pages of the tourism report. This gives you an indication of the social and the environmental report sections and the kind of things that would be covered in that report. This is in the 100% tick everything box. If you are great and we're doing everything, these are the types of things that would be included within that. And this then is how those areas address the UN sustainability goals. So you can see a direct link to some of the goals and indicators that are in the 17 UN sustainability goals. The second part of that report is then a little more detail. The full summary of the of your questionnaire, but also then in the final column, a description of the statistics of other people answering the same question. So you can see perhaps And particularly, I would expect in some of the environmental questions, quite often the answer is no. We're still gathering data at this point, but quite often a lot of people answer no to the questions. So you can see where did you fit relative to others. And perhaps it's not unusual for you to say no to a question. Or if you said yes, maybe you're one of the few that have said yes, and you're sort of leading in that field. The second part of the recommendations section then summarizes all the data for across all the sections, but also shows you where there is no data. So some of this in this table, for example, shows no data. So that perhaps you don't know that, or you don't have plans for it now, but maybe this is something you should consider gathering in the near future, ready for to prepare for your event. But the most useful thing is then is leading to the recommendations, summarizing the findings and having some recommendations, and then summarizing these recommendations into a quarterly action plan. It's a first stab, it's not too sophisticated. It would include a suggestion of who should be responsible for it, and perhaps a suggestion about an indication of budget. It won't be too scientific, won't be too specific against a particular action, but it's a starting point for you to consider how you can take on these recommendations and build them into your plan, and when in your journey to the event that happens. And this table is based on 3 years. It's based on 12 quarters before the event, and not every event will have 3 years before. Some may only have a year before, maybe less. So it's tailored accordingly. So that's a summary of the outputs for the steer for an event in coming up. The next slide summarizes what's different about the information gathering at the time when the event goes on. So the structure of the final report, as it were, is the same, covers the same topics. And the information gathered for the report is from you or your contemporaries, the organizers, but based on the same kind of information we've asked for previously. And also, where you're carrying out or intend to carry out a STEAM Pro, then we would add up to 10 questions into that STEAM Pro questionnaire to provide more specific attendee data over things like did they use public transport for your event or other aspects around social agenda. And be able to therefore summarize, in addition to the text and the more complete report, summarize the data that was the actual rather than the forecast, but do it in a consistent way for both. And this is not fully comprehensive, but gives you an idea of that data across all three of the sections. And the beauty of this is by setting this tool in place now is that we intend to be able to make it easier for people to compare and learn from each other about what good looks like. Give you a moment to read some of those headings rather than just me read them out to you. Now the final bit of the tools that exist that we've created at the time of the event, the STEAR Pro tool would only include on the ground data from attendees. STEAR Pro Plus, therefore, would include that wider audience that we talked about. So STEAR Pro is about the attendees, STEAR Pro Plus is about all the people that may have been aware or seen the event or become involved in an intangible way. The intention then is to report this in as meaningful a way as possible, but it's hard to turn this into an actual value number in the same way that you can do with short-term tourism benefit. The way that we're presenting that is by saying the size of audience that feeds into a funnel that can deliver longer-term outcomes. Now, that may be where you're inspired to get off your sofa to get involved in sport. An event happens, you're immediately engaged, you're a potential somebody that has changed their attitude and done something of positive benefit. You're only a potential at the time of the event, so it's the top of the funnel. The actual outcome at the bottom takes longer, and it is only really be able to produce over time with more sophisticated analysis and research. But the way that we can do this is by doing digital online surveying, using a tool called Google Surveys, which uses some advertising space that you would see when you're online, and asks up to 10 questions of people, and it understands, without anonymized, but understands their basic demographic data, particularly where they are, which means that you can get and structure the questions in a way where you understand, did they come across the event, and what were their attitudes as a result of the event. The tool summarizes the output of that in terms of reach against tourism objectives, social objectives, and environmental objectives. And here is an example from a different event, not in Canada. It's triathlon. It's a new format, Super League Triathlon for Jersey, which, if you don't know, it's an island between the UK and France. Independent state, but sort of linked to the UK. And they're a big tourism island. So, you know, France and the UK are their main audiences for tourism. But they also specifically want to use the event to address social agenda items, and they care about sustainability. So you see those four main pillars of outcomes, which are consistent across many sport events in particular. So the tool and that research, using these standard questions, you can see the wordings of there, means that we can understand the numbers of people, the proportions of the population in those local areas, but not just the overall population, but those segments of the population that are relevant to the local audiences. And traditionally that may be, you know, gender equality, you know, encouraging more women and girls, or minority groups, underrepresented groups, ethnic minority groups. So by segmenting the questionnaire, you can understand how much reach the event made to those people. So that's the four tools, from the free questionnaire down to the more sophisticated research at the time when the event on. And as Rick said in the beginning, this tool is something that can be relevant not just to host cities in making the case for investment alongside a steam economic forecast, but also to rights owners, to federations, in saying, I want to be able to describe how my event has value for investors, and those investors can be commercial or public sector investors. Or even after an event has been committed to, or it's been won, once you know the event's coming up, and the organising committee may see the value in making sure they have everything in place to be able to deliver a meaningful legacy and plan for it over time and monitor it in the build-up to an event in the same degree of rigour as they would do if they had to put basic things like event overlay and competition infrastructure in place. So these are the steps to summarize some of the things that I mentioned. The first step, the free questionnaire, you can do now from two slides on. And within 24 hours, you would receive your summary answers and your index score. Now, if you choose to then go a little further and go into the report section, the next steps are to review that with a CSTO consultant and as I said, in the immediate future, that would be me. We would talk through your answers. We would talk through what data you have. You would sort of go back to any existing documents, any existing plans, any existing information provided by previous events or the event organizer. I would gather that together and in step five, produce that initial report, which includes the legacy plan and the recommendations. Then when the event happens, and you know, for those of us planning for things, that's at least a year away perhaps, we update information and collate the data from a Steam Pro survey and produce that final report. And that step is consistent with what you may have done for other events in the past. And but the new element is the Steer Pro Plus, which is that audience analysis that we can also do, which is an add-on service if you see value in having that. Final couple of slides. So, you know, how much the tool, the questionnaire is free, it's online. You can go through it, you'll find hopefully that's useful exercise in itself. If you would choose to go ahead for the sort of report writing section, that's $5,000 Canadian is the fee for that full section. The Steer Pro at the time of the event then is only $3,000 because it builds on the work that's done before. Or if that work hasn't happened, then it's $5,000 is the fee to produce it as a one-off report in itself. And that additional Steer Pro Plus non-attendee surveying depends on the complexity, but the basic level that you can use to survey your province and nationally, a sort of a core number of surveys that you sort of have to pay for, you can do it from $2,000. If you choose to do much more granular analysis and want to do international surveys, for example, as well, or want to understand a lot more about a certain segment of the population, you have to ask more questions and the fee's higher, but you design that to meet your needs. But what we're doing now, you know, we're keen to get this up and running. We're keen to get people understanding and seeing value in it. So we have an introductory offer for the first three customers of Steer at $3,000. And as part of that, actually talk through with you this non-attendee or sort of wider audience digital surveying. And actually work that through, share how you would do it at the time of the event and think, well, you know, is there value in you doing audience research using the same tool now, even? And actually understand what's the art of the possible. And that by no means is something you need to do, but I think there may be something that you might find useful in helping make the case for those longer term outcomes that I showed on that infographic of that of those funnels. Equally, you know, events that you guys have been planning for this year, you know, Grant, I know, is involved in an event that he's had to push back to next year. You know, if there are things where you have had to change plans or maybe even cancel altogether, but you want to make the case and you want to understand, you know, what was the art of the possible, what was the expectation, and use that as a mechanism to tell your story for investment going forward or for planning going forward, then we can do a evaluation report used for those types of events, recent or just cancelled events, and do that for a fee of $3,000 as one-off as well. So, you know, that sets out the basic tools and what's there, how much, and walks you through some of the steps. It really just comes to what happens now. As I said, those of you with an iPhone that can put it up against the screen straight away and get that QR code to open up a Microsoft Forms survey. You can start right now and start sort of clicking through those introductory questions, followed by those sort of 50 questions. Look at all the questions, answer them with an event in mind. I'd encourage you to do that. I'd encourage you to pick an event, either forthcoming or one you've recently been involved with. Go through, answer the questions as honestly as you can. And that doesn't just help you, but it also helps all of us, because that will start populating some of those comparison data that we can, you know, help to share between us, and to see, you know, what on average, you know, who answers and how do they answer. The link in the middle, which will be available as well on the, as Rick said, online on the website, you'll be able to click that link, and that takes you to that website as well. So any apart from any questions you have now on the webinar, I'm available to talk you through. Just email me or go through CSDA colleagues, and happy to walk you through, share more with you, or get involved. Grant.
Thank you, Ian. And we have some questions already coming in. So from the audience, question one is, can the questionnaire be customized?
The main questionnaire that we've got is a standard questionnaire. I think that's what's of value, I think, consistently across CSDA members, but we will constantly review and update and improve. So you know, I don't see why, for example, in producing a report, we can't add more information at the report stage, but the what's online, what you see now, should only really change periodically. But certainly we can add more color to the data gathering and the report writing session.
Okay. Next, does the STEER Pro report cost include the cost of STEAM Pro assessment, or are they two separate costs and processes?
Yeah, they're two separate costs. I mean, the STEAM Pro is a, you know, is a tool in its own right. So yeah, they are two separate costs. Obviously, what we're looking to do is make it as efficient and as, you know, cost effective for you as possible. But yeah, they are separate costs.
Okay, and we have two others that came in advance. If I complete the free assessment and decide to go ahead with the STEER report, how long will it take to receive that report?
Well, it does depend on your ability to engage, you know, to be able to set up a call, send through what information you have, that data gathering that you have. But if you're able to do that, if you're able to sort of go through administration that you have to do quickly and within days, then we can turn this around within a few weeks. So it's only perhaps 3 weeks, you know, as an indication. So it can be turned around pretty quickly.
Okay, next we have some of the data fields seem like they would be difficult to track down. What would be the best practice for fields that might be unknown at a given time?
Yeah, I think that's to be expected. Some of the things, you know, you may not have the answer to, you may not be able to provide, and that's fair enough. So I think you know, the benefit is it's not expected that everyone's going to be perfect and everyone's going to have all the information. The benefit is actually you do what you do, and you learn from the sort of recommendation stage of what more you'll be able to do. Actually, some of the work I'm doing with the international federations is to encourage them to be able to provide hosts and future hosts with the kind of data that they want to hear. So actually, I'm going to be feeding in some of this into the work with them and say, well, look, you should always, in your events, start to gather this sort of information. So So that will improve over time, but you shouldn't feel like it's a bad thing necessarily if you're not able to gather that data. And we can certainly, I can talk through where you might, how easily you might be able to get it, particularly things like broadcast data and media data and things like that. And you know, what is a practical expectation for next steps.
And I can say that I did complete it for the event that Ian referenced that was postponed from this year, the Women's World Hockey Championship, which it did take just 10 minutes to complete the form. So that is the best 10 minutes that I've spent in a long while. Next question for you, Ian. How do you access the non-attendees in order to survey them?
Yeah, it's this Google survey mechanism. It's a tool that exists now. They pride themselves on being able to gather representative data of populations, particularly where they've got a strong take-up in both Apple and Android devices. The one area, territory they can't is China, because of the sort of compliance regulations they can do, but they can certainly do representative. They have enough reach in their mechanism to do representative surveys across Canada, the UK, France, Germany, US, Japan, Australia. So there's certainly some of the more Western, if you like, economies it's a well-established tool that enables you to reach. And I've done surveying over the past 6 months in Hong Kong, in Germany, in the UK, and in Canada, and use the tool. And you know, it's interesting. You find that perhaps 30 or 40% of the people that you're surveying saw the event; the rest didn't. Depending on how big the event was, it can be much less than that, depending on who you ask. And you can get data back, and you hear, you know, that yes, they did hear about the event and they felt good about it. They liked the local volunteers, but they didn't go. But that nonetheless meant they still were moved by the event.
And can you access, or can you actively do any of that data gathering currently with no events underway?
You can. I mean, the questions that you ask are going to be different. They're not going to say, "We, you know, did you have a sense of pride for the event?" They're not going to say, "Did the event make you want to volunteer in your local community?" So they're not going to ask sort of outcome-related questions. But what you can do is tailor questions that link to that. So you can say, "Would you like to have this event? Or, you know, do you feel that represents you? You know." You can sort of get a sense of the appetite, but equally tailor that to the audiences that you care about. So if you really want to hear from a certain age demographic or from a certain gender, rather than just thinking this is a sort of a white male middle class favorite, you know, we really want to know, you know, does this event resonate with the audiences that we care more about? You can use the survey tool to ask that and get that data back now. So in that sense, I do see that as being valuable, and it really helps you to understand why you would be interested in the event and what measures around activation, you know, public engagement, you would put in place with the ability that event brings you. And therefore, you know, in your journey of hosting that event, you know you're addressing it to the audience that you care about.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much to you, Ian, for all the work that you've done on STEER to this point. We look forward to the work that is going to be upcoming. We do encourage everybody to get involved, as Ian suggested, to test the tool for either events that you have planned or events that have been canceled. Ian's contact details are on the screen, and please do connect with him, or you can also connect with us at consulting@canadiansporttourism.com, and we'd like to hear from you. because our consulting services are built around the needs of the membership, and we would like to ensure that we continue to evolve and innovate, especially as we're coming out of COVID-19, hopefully sooner rather than later. So thanks again to Ian. Thanks to everybody for being online, and I will pass it back to Rick.
Thanks very much, Ian and Grant. A reminder that we'll be posting the presentation along with the video. Should be by mid to late day tomorrow. And also a reminder that if you're not currently connected with us on social media, please do. We're at CDN Sport Tourism. And it's a wealth, it's a great way to stay connected. And we communicate a lot of our updating information through that platform as well. Also our LinkedIn site as well. A reminder of some upcoming webinars. Next Wednesday, a little bit of a change from our normal Thursday time slot, but next Wednesday, May the 20th, join us for Canadian Sponsorship Landscape Study, the most recent version. Dr. Norm O'Reilly will be joining us for that presentation. On June the 4th, we have a crisis communications webinar hosted by our own communications manager of communications, Barb McDonald. And then on June 11th, we have an esports presentation by Vlad Marinescu, who was recently elected as the president of the International Esports Federation and was scheduled as one of our keynote speakers at our recently canceled Congress in Edmonton. So thanks once again for participating today, and have a great rest of day.